You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, holding our breath that we have football this afternoon. Ravens have until 12:30 Eastern to adjust their rosters. We talked to Michelle Tafoya. She'll be on the sidelines for NBC this afternoon, and she told us 2 hours ago, J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram didn't make the trip. So Baltimore down to their third and fourth string running backs. Also, Justin Tucker, the best place kicker in the NFL, is going to have a different long snapper. These games are usually decided by 7 points or less. 20 of the last 27 meetings between these two decided by 7 points or less. Obviously a depleted roster with the Ravens, but if it comes down to a field goal, even though Tucker is a future Hall of Famer and he's great at Heinz Field, then maybe with a long snapper that is making his debut, it could come down to something as simple as that. This program brought to you by the great folks at Peacock. You can watch this show on Peacock all 3 hours. Just download the app. It's free. And also Peacock has Saved by the Bell streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Bayside is back with new students, new stories. Some very familiar faces. Start streaming now. 2 hours in, and still not sure what to make of what's going to happen with Michigan's football, Ohio State's game this weekend against Michigan State, and it's only Wednesday. And I say it's only Wednesday because we've seen so much happens in a very short period of time. And before you sign off and go, they're going to play football this weekend, it feels like Ohio State's going to do their best, no matter what their roster looks like, from what I'm told. They're going to get this game in. And Michigan State is the opponent. Michigan would be the opponent next weekend. And, of course, Kirk Herbstreit last night on the playoff selection show was saying that maybe Michigan just waves the white flag and surrenders here. It doesn't mean that Michigan is not going to maybe think twice about playing this game, but for COVID reasons. To be fair to Michigan, COVID reasons. From what I was told last night and this morning, they might not be able to field a competitive team. And I went back to my source and said, well, even if everybody's healthy, they're not going to field a competitive team. To which he said, that's true, but with COVID, how many players might miss this game? Are they going to be able to play their game this weekend? And then it's a big game with Ohio State, obviously, with a lot at stake if they're able to play that game. We played the Kirk Herbstreit sound from last night. I don't want to play it again. You know what the gist is, that Herbie said that maybe they're going to wave the white flag and basically opt out, and that he was told by some coaches that teams are purposely opting out using COVID as an excuse. I would need some examples there. I think it's a big blanket to, you know, throw over college football and say that. Do I think it's possible? Absolutely. Do I think Florida State used COVID as an excuse to not play Clemson? I don't. I think when you listen to the medical experts from your conference, because this is conference by conference by conference, not a governing body with the NCAA, then I will defer to the medical community who you hired, put in place to make those decisions. And I knew that the Big Ten, they started late. They were up against some doubters, some people who had some serious reservations about playing football this year and still have serious reservations about playing football. Did they do the right thing? And we don't know that, but Ohio State has a lot at stake here, more than any other team right now in the country, with what they need to do. You know, Clemson and Notre Dame are going to face each other. Alabama and Florida are going to face each other. Texas A&M is on the outside looking in. Somebody's waiting for somebody to slip up. And then maybe you're going to get A&M slipping in there. If Florida doesn't beat Alabama, you can remove them. If Clemson blows out Notre Dame, does Notre Dame get bounced? If Ohio State only has 5 games on their resume, does the playoff committee go, we've seen enough here. They passed the eye test. I don't know if they're going to pass the eye test, but I do think that the history of Ohio State football would put them in the Final Four. And I know that we like to have a meritocracy where we go, well, they earned it. Well, Ohio State hasn't earned it. And even if they beat Michigan State and beat Michigan, that doesn't mean they've earned it to be one of the four best teams in college football. Do they have as much talent as anybody? Yes, they do. But if I'm basing it off the eye test, and I said this from the beginning with the Big Ten, My source said, if you're only playing 5 or 6 games, you're going to have to pass the eye test. What if you don't pass the eye test? And you still get in. I want to know what the selection committee is basing that off of. Because if you're going to say, well, they beat Indiana, they barely beat Indiana at home. You're going to face Michigan State. We don't know what kind of team Michigan State is. Michigan, we know what kind of team they are. Does that pass the eye test? May not be fair to Ohio State. But I don't think you can go, you know, BYU hadn't played anybody. Cincinnati hadn't played anybody. Texas A&M hadn't played. Okay, but do they pass the eye test with the teams that they're facing? And I think that's where the playoff committee is going to have a, I don't know if it's a tough decision, but it might be a tough answer to talk about that decision if you're going to put Ohio State in there. And if you only play one more game and you don't play for the Big Ten title, college football playoff committee, they don't require an X, you know, a number X number of games. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, going back to Jim Harbaugh, the 4 highest paid college football coaches are Nick Saban, Ed Ogeron at LSU, Dabo Sweeney, and Jim Harbaugh all make over $8 million a year. Mm-hmm. The first 3 have won the last 3 national title games. The last guy just lost to an 0-5 Penn State team. If you ran Michigan football, Dan, if you ran Michigan football, president of the school, whatever you want to call it, would you wait a year or get rid of Jim Harbaugh, replace Jim Harbaugh soon?
I got to know who I'm replacing him with.
Would you start that process? The quiet, hire the firm to find the guy, quietly fourth party.
I'm going to guess they've already started that. But you normally don't break up with a girlfriend unless you have another girlfriend waiting. And if I'm Michigan, who's my girlfriend waiting? Because Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. But I think he's got that cloud over his head here. You're going to be measured by Ohio State. And that's really difficult to be measured by. And he's never going to be on equal footing with Ohio State. Not anytime soon. And it's always going to be, but Jim Harbaugh's career at Michigan will always be, no matter how long he stays there. Yeah, but you never beat a quality opponent. Yeah, but you never beat Ohio State. Yeah, but you weren't even competitive against Ohio State. And he doesn't have a quarterback. In fact, quarterbacks, you don't even hear them talking about going to Michigan to play for a former quarterback as your head coach. And I think that if I'm Michigan, I don't want to pay Jim $8 million to go away. But if I pay $8 million and I'm bringing in somebody who I think is going to move us in the right direction, then yes. You know, the collateral damage is $8 million, then yes, I would pay that. It's disappointing because Jim loves the school so much, his alma mater. His dad is there on the staff with him. This is the ideal Norman Rockwell painting here. He got to go back home at Michigan, but it is not going to end well there. But yeah, if I could get somebody that I thought was going to be an upgrade over Jim Harbaugh, and that is saying something. I truly believe that. I think Harbaugh is a very good coach. He's proven that at other stops. But this is not going to work out well. All right, we'll get to phone calls coming up. Ravens and Steelers, McLevin, do we have an update? Anybody tested positive since we last broached this topic?
I haven't seen anything. It seems like the big news of the day was Michelle Tafoya sort of lightheartedly saying, oh, the Ravens running backs aren't playing tonight.
Yeah.
That's been taken over the internet. But yeah. Other than that, I have not seen anything, but there could be out there.
Yeah, I saw that. Michelle said that in the first hour, and some other news organizations picked up on it. Didn't give Michelle credit, but they picked up on it. But J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram did not make the trip. They were cleared, I believe, but they did not make the trip there. Yeah, McLeod.
How about an hour 3 poll? Should they play today? We put, will they play? And 80% said yes. But I mean, do most people think they should play, or is it sort of 50-50?
Well, you have to play. If they don't play, is it a forfeit?
We'll go to week 18.
Well, I don't know if you can say we're going to have week 18 and do it now. Because here's the problem. What if there's another game with Baltimore? And then like at some point you're going to have to forfeit a game because you can't. How many games can you have in week 18 for one team that might miss a couple of games here? And that would be the real problem here. I think the smart choice would be let's have a week 18 and you know, reset this game for the extra weekend of the regular season, but it's too late now. But I hope they play the game, because if they don't, I don't know what plan, what letter are we on? E? F? Maybe that's the appropriate letter. F. But I hope they get the game in. It certainly sounds like they're going to. Yeah, McLovin.
The Steelers, I believe, play next Monday night against the Washington football team. Is that a handicap for the Steelers? It's kind of close, Wednesday to Monday.
Yeah, it's not fair to them. And that's what I've been saying. John Harbaugh is saying, hey, you know, we're victims here. And then my NFL source said, no, it's hypocrisy. You created this, and now you feel like you're being picked on. The Steelers are the ones that have been waiting to play since last, you know, Thursday night on Thanksgiving. And then they have to turn around and then play this game on Monday. They should be moving that game to Tuesday for the Steelers to help them out. But, man, you get to the point where are you playing checkers or chess here? And that's my big question. I don't know what they're playing. It may be Parcheesi for all I know, but it's dangerous because you forget the rules of the game. Like, well, let me see. We got to help out this team, and then if we do that, and then we switched over here, and then they have 3-4 days. That's enough for them to play, and it's not fair to the Steelers. Yeah, McLovin.
I feel like I'm the only one a little bothered by the 3:40 start time because it feels kind of minor leaguey to me. Like, I feel like the NFL should have sort of strong-armed their way into prime time. This feels like a Cubs game on WGN.
I'm just saying that tree lighting ceremony better be awesome.
Oh.
I can't wait. Can't wait for the tree lighting ceremony. It's going to be awesome.
I hope they have Lamar Jackson at the tree lighting ceremony. You know, distance, but, you know, out there doing something today. I want to see him on TV.
Yeah, Seton.
New question specifically for Paul. If they were on at the same time, which would you watch, the game or the tree lighting ceremony?
Wow, I would probably have some type of countdown clock for when the tree is actually being lit. But if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with tree lighting. I think there's more drama. This game's going to be a dog. I like Robert Griffin.
Wait, there's no drama with a tree lighting ceremony unless you go, man, I don't know, there's electrical short here.
Yeah, will it light? I don't know.
Fair point. But, you know, I'm actually a little disappointed. Our sources have told us that Michael Bublé is not part of the NBC.
Yeah, Fritzy reached out to Michael Bublé. And he's on
holiday.
On holiday.
With his family.
Yeah. It's what they say
this is
in
work
Europe.
Time.
Yeah, they're on holiday. Michael Bublé. I'm going to be lit. I can tell you that.
Let me guess, he went on holiday to Vegas with all the swinging cats.
Yeah, baby. Here is a headline that should never be a headline. And, of course, it is because it has to do with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz reportedly was not thrilled that the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts. Wow. Didn't see that one coming. Quarterback, drafting a quarterback, second round draft pick. If you said Jalen Hurts was thrilled that they drafted, or Carson Wentz was thrilled they drafted Jalen Hurts, now you got a headline. But this ain't a headline. But man, we're going to work it every angle we can. Not pleased, not thrilled that they drafted Jalen Hurts. Yes, Seton.
Is this a headline today because we've exhausted the Aaron Rodgers angle of this same exact story? Hey, not happy.
Well,
a little help.
Aaron Rodgers was on with Pat McAfee, as he normally is on Tuesdays, and he talked about how he's playing well, even though that has to surprise some people. I'm paraphrasing here, basically questioning how good he was in the offseason. So that's not going away for Aaron Rodgers with them, you know, drafting Jordan Love. So that story is not over by any stretch of the imagination. Certainly in Aaron Rodgers' mind. Yes, McLovin.
If Carson Wentz didn't like Jalen Hurts in the second round, he's really not going to like Trey Lance in the first round next year.
That's not happening.
Why? If they're four, that's happening. And same with Dallas, too.
You think Dallas takes a quarterback that high?
Oh, they're both gunning for that four spot right now. I looked at Tankathon, and the Cowboys and the Eagles are making their moves. Why? I mean, Dallas, yeah, you would think if they could get a quarterback.
Okay, who wants a piece of that bet with McLovin? Does Dallas take a quarterback in the first round?
Set the draft spot. Where do they land?
10 or lower. Is that good?
Five or lower.
Okay, so if they have one of the top five draft picks, do the Cowboys take a quarterback? Anybody want a piece of that?
As of right now, the Cowboys are in the fourth spot at 3-8, tied with the Chargers. But right now with the tiebreaker, Dallas has the fourth pick. Let's say they won two more games. They're still going to be in the top 11.
Does anybody want a piece of that? I will, McLovin. Dallas is not taking a quarterback in the top five.
Okay.
Philadelphia is not taking a quarterback in the top five.
Oh, man. Well, you got to figure that Cincinnati is going to take the left tackle at 3. I'm doing a mock draft here.
Oh, out of Oregon.
Yeah, out of Oregon.
Okay.
So that means who? Oh, man.
Yeah, see.
Don't you feel like Dallas is just going to take another cornerback like they had every draft for the past 15 years?
I could see Dallas if they want to move on from Dak and they get one of these marquee quarterbacks. I understand that because you don't want to be paying. They already blew it. You know, Jerry Jones, the great negotiator, waited way too long because he could have gotten Dak for $34 million probably a year. And that would be a bargain. By the time he gets around to this, he's going to be paying him $40 million a year. Now, do they go, we don't want to take damaged goods on a quarterback coming back from an ankle surgery, and then we'll take a quarterback? Okay. I mean, that would be a smart decision for the team to make, to have a quarterback on a rookie contract. And therefore, that bloated roster that you have, that financially bloated roster, maybe you could start carving away some of those big salaries. They're stuck with Zeke Elliott for two more years, but... Yeah, I could see him, if they got one of those guys, Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, that you do that. Kyle Trask, Wilson out of BYU, Trey Lance, maybe. But you got to get somebody you're going to put in there who's going to play and that you're pretty sure is going to be better than Dak Prescott. And I don't know. Jerry Jones may not want to wait that long, but I don't see the Eagles doing that. They're going to have another quarterback? Like, isn't that their problem? That Carson Wentz is, according to a defensive coach, an anonymous defensive coach, that he's pressing. Like he wants to prove that he's great. What I don't know what the whole, hey, he's trying to push harder because they drafted Jalen Hurts. He doesn't need to impress anybody because of Jalen Hurts. He needs to live up to his own reputation here. Yeah, Paulie.
You know what might be interesting? 2 weeks ago, Washington Football Club had the third pick of the draft. Then Alex Smith wins two in a row, and now they have the eighth pick in the draft. Alex Smith may take them out of drafting position for a top quarterback and by default make him the starting quarterback going into next season.
Yeah, but I don't know what they do with Dwayne Haskins. But if you said, like, Alex Smith is not your future, he's been an unbelievable story this year. But yes, the better he plays, the worse your future is in getting one of those quarterbacks. Yeah, McLovin.
Can we set our bet a little later in the offseason when we know how healthy Dak Prescott's going to be? Because isn't that a big factor?
No, like, because I'm running that risk. I'm saying Dallas doesn't take a quarterback. I don't know how healthy Dak's going to be. If you say he's not healthy, then I'd go, okay, now they'll entertain taking a quarterback.
Right. I'm actually giving you a break here. If like they find out that he's got another year.
No, I'm fine with the bet. I'm fine. The bet's been set. I'm fine. I don't need any help.
That was a nasty injury.
Oh, I know. No, but I'm good. I'm not doing anything. I'm good. That's it. Got our bet. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll get to more phone calls coming up. Kevin Durant meets with the media, and boy, was he in a spicy mood there. We'll also check in with the Pittsburgh Steelers and find out just exactly where we stand. We're about an hour away from rosters being set for this game. Has to be, I think, 3 hours prior to kickoff, and so around 12:30 Eastern. But we do know the Ravens' two starting running backs, Ingram and Dobbins, will not be playing in this game. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Built Bar is built for you, and... It's a protein bar. That's the one thing that you have to keep in mind because you will lose that thought. Built Bar, delicious. The kicker is guilt-free, like 130 calories guilt-free, 20 grams of protein, 4 net carbs guilt-free. I know what you're thinking. So Built Bar is pretty good for a protein bar. No, it's not just good for a protein bar. It's great for a snack, a candy bar. You know, if you're working out, it's one of those things that let's say you have breakfast and then you're going to work out prior to lunch and you want to have something in between, or you get done with working out and you want to have something. That's what's great. There's 18 flavors there. You're eating a healthy snack, and you're going to love coconut almond. There's mint brownie. There's what was the one you had, Todd?
I had the coconut almond.
Oh, you did?
Fabulous.
Okay. And, you know, trust Todd when it comes to this.
It was in this nice, shiny, light blue wrapping. It was just very inviting before I even dove in.
Yeah, it picked up the blue in my eyes when Fritzy held it
that
up.
That it did.
Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code DP, and you'll get 20% off your order. 18 different flavors, but the only way you can get it is if you order online. BuiltBar.com, promo code DP. You're welcome. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. It's possible the Ravens will get down to 14 players before they play the Steelers on Wednesday afternoon. They had listed 16 players due to COVID-19. Running backs J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, they were both eligible to come off the list after completing the 10-day quarantine. But Michelle Tafoya joined us in the first hour. She, of course, working for NBC with Football Night in America. As the sideline reporter said, they're not playing in the game. Didn't make the trip. Jerry Dulac covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and kind enough to join us. Jerry, thanks for joining us. What was the reaction when you found out that the Steelers are going to face a team probably with their third string running back?
Well, I will tell you this, Dan, and good morning, that even yesterday when they held their walkthrough with the idea that Dobbins and Mark Ingram might play, they didn't alter their approach or their plan or anything else. They have the same plan going in for Gus Edwards, and RG3 as they would for Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins and or Mark Ingram. So it doesn't affect them one way or the other. It probably benefits them that J.K. Dobbins isn't playing. But they're very much aware of what happened last year in the season finale when RG3 played and Gus Edwards, and the Ravens still ran for 203 yards. And one thing they do know that they want to do or have to do is change their scheme, how they defend the Ravens, because in the last three games, the numbers like 811 yards the Ravens have rushed for against the Steelers, including that 265 a month ago. So that's what they know they have to change. But the personnel isn't going to dictate to them how they are going to defend the Ravens.
I had a source early in the week saying that John Harbaugh was being a hypocrite, that they created this. Now they're saying that they're being persecuted, picked on here. I'm just wondering about the Steelers' side of this, because it feels like the Steelers are the ones who didn't do anything wrong, but they're the ones being punished to a certain degree. How are the Steelers reacting to this?
Well, other than the game being the Thanksgiving game being canceled and some of their young guys coming out and saying that's BS and then using the full word and then saying it's a joke, Juju Smith-Schuster coming out and saying, if the Ravens can't control their COVID situation, that should be on them. Forgetting the fact that 2 weeks earlier, the Steelers had five guys on the list, including Ben Roethlisberger, but the timing benefited them because they could come off on Saturday and play on Sunday. Beyond that, I think Mike Tomlin's directive to them is as always, is just, hey, look, just keep the focus, stay on the path we're on. And, if anything, maybe they're getting a little antsy. Hey, look, the same complaints are coming out of Pittsburgh, not necessarily from the team and the players, but from their fans. And maybe internally there's some, we're getting the short end of the stick. But I don't think that permeates the locker room. Mike Tomlin won't allow that to happen. I think every team feels they're being picked on. Look at the Denver Broncos, Dan. They petitioned the league every which way they could to try and do something about that quarterback situation, and it didn't happen. And so, yeah, in Pittsburgh, they think Baltimore's getting an advantage, and in Baltimore, they think they're getting screwed.
When was the last time you covered a Steeler team that had this, least dramatic Steeler team in how many years?
Well, It's funny because every year it seems to come up. I don't think there's any question, Dan, that 2 years ago with the Le'Veon Bell situation and the Antonio Brown situation, I don't think that drama could ever be surpassed, no matter what happens. And I think because the Steelers are such a marquee team, and as you know, being in the business, they are a team that moves the needle. And because of that, they receive a lot of attention. It's also because they tend to have a lot of the game's top stars. So, and go back to Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. So when those situations arise, they get magnified and people pay attention because it is the Steelers. And so there always seems to be this cloud of drama surrounding them. But let's face it, when you look at their performance and their record, you know, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season in 14 years. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's testament to him and to the organization that they kind of ferret their way through that and still manage to be successful.
Are they a balanced team or are they a defensive-minded team?
Well, you know, the funny thing right now, Dan, aside from the fact that they don't run the ball very well, you know, their offense is as good as it's been. I mean, they're the only team in the AFC to score 24 or more points in every game. Even Kansas City can't say that. Ben Roethlisberger is having arguably his best season, certainly statistically. And the run defense has actually suffered the last 3-4 weeks. I think they're a very well-balanced team. They're a team that can score points. And to me, Dan, they are the one team in the league that is equipped to stop any of these other offenses, including Kansas City's. Now, I'm not saying they will, but they are equipped to do it because, you know, they have all pros at all three levels. They sack the quarterback. They have a larcenous secondary. They take the ball away. And, yeah, they're missing Devin Bush. I thought that was a big, big loss because I thought he was the one player they could least afford to lose because they don't have anybody else like him. But when you look at Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt up front, and you got those two edge guys, Watt and Dupree, and then a really solid secondary with Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, they're equipped to play however you want and to you know, bottle up a team as well as anybody in the league can do it.
When does the possibility of an undefeated season become a legitimate topic for the players to talk about?
I think Buffalo. You know, once if they can get past that in a couple of weeks, you know, see what happens with the Ravens. Then they have Washington, and I know Washington's been scoring some points lately, but they are 4-7. Then they go to Buffalo, and I think, I think that will be the key. They can be 12-0 going to Buffalo, and if they come through that at 13-0, then I think it becomes a very real possibility because then it's the Colts, and then it's the season-ending game. And let's say the bye is still in place. Nothing has changed, and they get a bye week. Then what do you do in week 16? Do you go for an unbeaten season, or do you back off a little bit? You know, I've talked to a couple of former coaches around the league, and they all think it's probably a good idea if they lose a game somewhere. I tend to agree, just to get the specter and the pressure of an unbeaten season off their back, and you know, then start focusing on the postseason. So, but I think two or three weeks here when they head to Buffalo is going to be the key, Dan.
Great to talk to you, Jerry. Thanks for making time. Have fun today. We appreciate it.
Well, Dan, nice chatting with you.
Jerry Dolak, he covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Michelle Tafoya, first hour, who was great, said that weather would not be an issue, that if they had played this last night, weather would have been an issue. But I think the Ravens running game will be the one issue, the only issue for the Steelers this afternoon. Some phone calls here. Noah in Wisconsin. Hey, Noah, what's on your mind today?
Hey there, Dan. First time, medium time. I just want to point out regarding the college football selection process. You pointed out that Texas A&M is unlikely to make it in because of lack of viewership interest.
Yep.
A few years ago, Clemson was not a marquee team, and now they've risen to blue blood status. I was wondering, from an award-nominated broadcaster and actor like yourself, how Texas A&M, or dare I say my Wisconsin Badgers, could rise to become a marquee team.
Well, I think you have to have, you know, when Johnny Manziel was there at Texas A&M, we wanted to see him. Texas A&M doesn't have that, boy, I want to see that guy. Wisconsin doesn't have Jonathan Taylor. You don't have that guy. And it doesn't always come down to it, but I do think it helps with if you have, like, Florida has Kyle Trask. Now, they're good, but I got a guy who might win the Heisman Trophy here. And go back to Clemson a couple of years ago. We didn't know the weapons Clemson had. In fairness to Clemson, we realized the talent that they had. We didn't know if it was on the same level as an LSU or an Alabama or some of these, or Ohio State, but then we quickly realized it was. But Clemson, you know, with Trevor Lawrence, Alabama has marquee guys. You got Nick Saban you throw in there. A lot of this, when you think of college athletics, it comes down to coaches. It's weird. College basketball is about coaches. It's not about players. You tune in, it's Tom Izzo and Michigan State versus Mike Krzyzewski and Duke. Well, they're not playing. But you can sell that. Rick Pitino, John Calipari, Bill Self. Like, you can, that's how you sell it. College football, it was Urban Meyer. It was Steve Spurrier. It was Nick Saban. Now it's Dabo Sweeney. That goes a long way. It resonates with viewers for some reason. I want to know how good the football team is, but we assume if the coach is great, his team is going to be great. But Dabo Sweeney and Clemson, if Urban Meyer was still at Ohio State, you know, we might look at Ohio State differently than Ryan Day. Yeah, Paulie.
You know, Texas A&M has a good season, but in early October, they got housed by Alabama on national TV, and that really, everyone pumped the brakes. Their quarterback is a guy named Kellen Mond, who can be very good, but not consistently enough. And so the past couple of weeks, they've missed games against Tennessee, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
The LSU game, which would have been a primetime big game, was not relevant anymore because LSU's way down. So that's what kind of hurt them this season.
And I have nothing against A&M getting in there. I'm just telling you what the truth is, what the reality is. I don't have a rooting interest in this. Couldn't care less. But I just want to be fair to the system and what they see, what you're factoring in. And make no mistake about it. It's a TV show. All else fails. Who's got a bigger fan base? I always feel that is the deciding factor. If you have two teams, if you said Ohio State and A&M, man, we can't really decide. Ohio State. A&M against Notre Dame. I mean, that's just logic that I think is attached to this. Kyle in Ohio. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Dan. Great show. I agree on the college football playoffs that, you know, Ohio State, I'll listen to the A&M fans, Florida fans on, you know, if they deserve in. I will not listen to Cincinnati fans. I know it was a year ago, 2019, last summer, all we listened to was, oh, they're going to come into Columbus and give Ohio State all they want, and they didn't cross the 50, 42-0. Again, two different, I get it, somewhat two different teams, but not 42-point difference.
Yeah, and I understand that, Kyle. I get it. It's just we don't allow any wiggle room for a great story. Thanks for the phone call. When you think about college football, how does the underdog gets a weekend. Appalachian State goes into Michigan and wins in the Big House, and we go, oh my God, North Dakota State takes on a Big 12, Big 10 school, and we go, oh my God, and that's it. That's their moment. Their March Madness takes place in September or October or November. And that's part of the problem I have with college football, that we don't entertain the possibility of somebody doing something truly unique. They got a chance. We don't even give them a chance anymore. Coastal Carolina against Alabama, maybe they lose 50-0. Maybe. But if I said to Coastal Carolina, I'm going to give you a chance to play Alabama, and you might lose 50-0. Coastal Carolina is going to play Alabama. Liberty, they can't beat anybody. Probably not in the top four. BYU. Cincinnati. I mean, we can run down the list every year. Remember Boise State? Oh, Boise State can't beat any of the big guys. All right. They're facing Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. And look what happened. All you want is a chance. And that's why bowl games are great. Because bowl games give you an opportunity to show hey, we can compete with these guys. And that's all you want. As an athlete, give me a chance. College football for the playoffs doesn't give you a chance. With a bowl game, they give you a chance. That's your consolation prize. More phone calls coming up, and Kevin Durant gets salty with the media. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. NBA's tentative opening night doubleheader on TNT. Nets Warriors in Brooklyn, Lakers Clippers in Los Angeles, sources tell The Athletic. All right, I'm fine with that. You know, of all the teams, I just want to see what the Nets look like, what it feels like after a month or so, just with Kyrie, Kevin Durant, Steve Nash as the head coach. Do they make any changes here? Do they go after James Harden? If I'm the Rockets, I'm not trading James Harden. He may want to leave, not trading you. I want to get two teams involved. If you say Brooklyn and Golden State is interested in James Harden, now we can talk about trading James Harden. But I'm not going to send him to where he wants to go. And if Golden State is interested, all right, we'll listen. But same with Russell Westbrook. You guys wanted it. You guys live in this, and then until we get something that benefits us, we're not going to do something to benefit you. Here is Kevin Durant with the media about the possibility of the Nets bringing in James Harden.
Is there anything that you could share with us about that conversation? And then you relay that James wants to play with the Nets to Sean as soon as you hear something like that?
I don't know where you're making these stories up that me and James talked about. Any of this at a workout, like, I don't know where that came from. And James is a friend of mine, but I let the front office handle all of that stuff. I was just so focused on working out. I heard all the noise, and I heard that, you know, James potentially wanted to come to the Nets, but you know, anybody can make up stories. Anybody can write a story, and it gets some traction.
All righty. So he heard that James might be interested. But as a friend and a former teammate, you wouldn't reach out and just say, hey, I'm hearing all this noise. Is there anything to it? Like, wouldn't that just seem normal? Hey, James, just checking in with you. Like, tell me what's going on. If I can help in any way, you know, I will. Is this where you want to come? Yeah, see.
Like, yeah, dude, you seeing any of this? Hey, did you reach out to the Nets or no? Oh, okay. That'd be pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's media making it up again? All right. That's what I figured.
Oh, why? So you don't want to come play with us then? Oh, okay. Well, then forget it.
Remember the media, when the media made that up about Kyrie and me when we got together at the All-Star game and we were huddling together and people said, you guys are going to go, you're going to play together next year. Oh, that's right. The media was right on that one, but not this time around. All right, KD. How much patience does the New York media have with the Brooklyn Nets this year? That's what I want to know. I get this feeling you're going to have a KD, Kyrie news boycott at some point during the season. We're not talking to you. I got nothing to say. You guys are mean. Yeah, Paul.
You can even go back years ago when Durant joined the Warriors. Remember, he's like, yeah, there's nothing going on. And then all of a sudden, Draymond Green goes, we've been talking since the moment the season ended. I started texting him on the bus after the finals.
And remember, there was nothing going on with him and whatchamacallit, Draymond. Hey, there's nothing wrong. We're okay. No. We're cool. No, there's something going on there. Yeah, Seton.
What happens when there's one mistake at the end of a game and they say, Kevin, can you tell us which coach made that call?
Was it you? Was it Kyrie? Was it Steve Nash?
Can you tell us who made that call at the end of the game?
Yeah. Matt in South Carolina. Hey, Matt, what's on your mind today?
Hey, what's up, DP?
Hey, Matt.
Talking a lot about who's going to get into the college football playoff, A&M. What if Ohio State only plays four games? Clemson beats Notre Dame by a field goal. This is the perfect year to just throw in a rule, playoff committee, get together and just say, hey, we're going to do eight teams and we're going to bubble it.
Can't do it. Year. Can't do it, Matt. They move at a snail's pace. They can't make a decision on lunch. And you're going to go, hey, how about we come up with an eight-team playoff? It just won't happen. Jamie in North Carolina. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Dan, guys, 6'4", about 196. I was just calling about the Bill Walton play-by-play the other day. I thought it was great. He kept saying, you know, great things about UNC going back and forth with Stanford, throwing out Grateful Dead lyrics, which is my favorite band. But I thought he was great. I loved it. I think he thought he was in Hawaii.
I know. When they said you get to have the Maui Invitational, and he's like, awesome. It's going to be in North Carolina. Thanks for the phone call. I think Bill's mind might have been in Hawaii, but his body was in North Carolina. Ryan in Honolulu, right on cue. Hey, Ryan.
Aloha, Dan.
Aloha.
And aloha to chat row.
Okay.
I've been on hold for quite a while, so I'm going to have to take a left turn because I have a limerick for Fritzy's limerick from the start of the show.
Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on. Todd, do you want to do your limerick again?
Sure.
Okay. Do this, and then Ryan can do his.
A third rescheduled game? No way. It's a pandemic. So what can you say? Wednesday afternoon at Heinz, just a sign of the times. But are we sure that they'll even play?
You know, as an Irishman, I'm disappointed in you, Todd.
Why is that?
I mean, you know, we invented the limerick.
But you gave me a passing grade earlier.
I know, a passing grade, but then the more I think about it,
it really change it to a failure? Why don't we hear what Ryan has to...
Okay, Ryan in Honolulu.
Gets that one.
Who's not Irish?
All right. No, well, I am a half Irish, but I want a grade from you, Dan.
Okay.
And just like Fritzy, your judgment will make or break my day.
Okay.
Here we go. Todd's affinity for limericks is admirable, but to use them as content for the show is questionable. Just like with Green Day, please stay in your lane. Pauly may think your passing grade is debatable.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. I'm going to give you a passing grade on that. It felt like you gave that a little more thought. And
you're winking at the day lane, Ryan. That's all right. And I love Ryan. I would have got crushed for that. Day lane? We know about my rhyming issues.
Oh, you have.
I have nothing to say.
No.
I shouldn't have even brought that up.
Fuck off. Do you want to go down that road?
I don't. I actually don't.
Okay.
I was going to say.
This day in sports history, Paulie?
It's a tough one. 97, Latrell Sprewell's contract was terminated by the Golden State Warriors. The day before, coincidentally, he choked his head coach, B.J. Carlissimo. That's it.
Yeah. Other than that, you had a good day. Go around the room, what we learned on the program. Todd, what'd you learn today?
A source informs you the Heat believe they're still in play to obtain the Greek Freak.
Yeah. Yep. And if not, Bradley Beal. McLovin.
Kobe, 16 Christmas Day games.
Yep, more than any player in history. Seton O'Connor.
Todd Fritz single-handedly keeping the limerick alive.
Or single-handedly killing it.
Hey,
Paulie?
Come on now.
Irish Todd Fritz would stay home.
What did I learn, Todd?
Michelle Tafoya, confident the Ravens and Steelers play football this afternoon, but Baltimore's top running backs will not be.
Masterclass offers over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their fields. This holiday, when you buy an annual membership, get another annual membership free. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick, masterclass.com/Patrick. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the afternoon football. We'll look forward to dissecting it tomorrow. Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin, yours truly, Dan Patrick Show.